I've got a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Anybody else got one?
Amen.
Yeah. Am I looking at a bunch of sinners in here today?
Yes,
yes I am. Saved sinners, hopefully.
Yeah.
But what we want to do today is talk about salvation without works through by identification through faith. And we'll get to that. Maybe the second service, I don't know, we're going to have to just play all this by ear because, you know, when you're expecting someone that you want to guide something to, and then it's important. But it's important for all of us. But would you bow your head in a word of prayer first? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being with us, loving us before we ever loved You. Thank You for sending Jesus Christ, God Yourself, manifest in the flesh to dwell among us, to tabernacle with us, and to be crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead to pay for all of our sins, to justify us. And He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father as we speak. We just praise You. We can't do enough. Thank You for making us stewards of the mysteries. Thank You for letting us be an ambassador for You. May we carry the work on of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may Jesus Christ be glorified through our works and actions. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm kind of pumped up. Even though I was up a lot last night. Like I say, when you eat too much prime rib, that's what they cooked at home. We can't afford to go out and eat that, but boy, you can cook it at home and you can save a lot of money. So that's what we did. I got a phone call this week, and we're going to talk about it either first or second service, but I'm just going to bring it up right now. Just a tad, to let you know, even our small group, and this was from a Grace Believers church pastor. And you've got to be careful, even in the Grace Believers churches. Now, what I'm going to tell you, it wasn't critical to salvation. But whenever, you know, the will of the Father is that all men be saved. Well, that's the first thing, salvation. And come into the knowledge of the truth. I have a difficult time. Come on in. I have a difficult time trying to understand, and I don't have to understand it, but trying to understand if a person is saved by the grace of God. Whenever you preach the truth to them, how come they can't see it if they're saved? Is it because of their own vanity? What is it? You know, Richard does this all the time. Y'all guys witness all the time. I do. And you know, the subject that I'm talking about is the middle wall of partition. I'm not even going to go in and try to explain all the different belief systems of the middle wall. But I want to cover that probably. This depends on what flows out. And I kind of like a service like this because I don't know what's going to happen. But it troubles me because what he did, as a he, of course, if he's a pastor, he called me up and he says, "This is what I preached the other day. I just want to know what your thoughts are on it." He told me, and I said, "That's exactly right." He said, "I've stayed away from the middle wall for all my life." He said, "I just didn't quite understand it." And he said, "I've been studying it out, and I've got it, I think." Well, you definitely need to know you got it before you preach it. But he went ahead and preached it, and he did have it, though. So I told him, and he says, "That's exactly right." And I said, "Yes." So what he did, he went out to Facebook, and he put it out there to all of his friends and others' friends. And it's kind of like an Amway deal if you've ever been to Facebook. One piggybacks on another. And he didn't say, "This is right, this is wrong." He just asked the question. What he was trying to do, and I have no problem with it, verifying what he preached, verifying what I had told him, that I agreed with him, that he did the right thing. And you should have seen some of the responses from Grace Believers who have been in grace, who've been believing the truth, have listened to Brother Moore since the 60s. And they're saying, the middle wall of partition, who's in it? Who was in that? What is it? And they would say, this and this, it's between the Jew and it's between the Greek. it was all for the Jews and the body, and then all of a sudden there comes the Gentiles, and so they're putting no name. But so you, something so simple as that. Now I'll be honest with you, it was not that simple when I first heard it. But you can get it if you help. Well, study it out and listen to someone carry you right through it. And as many times as we've covered it, everybody ought to have it. But if you don't, then you need to get it. Why do you need to get it? It's not anything to do with salvation, but whenever you're witnessing to someone and it's going to come up, something more than this is going to come up. That Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification to pay for your sins. Now, when you're telling someone that, that's the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of your salvation. When you're telling someone this or witnessing to them as an ambassador, and you're talking about you're a steward of the mysteries of Christ, not the ones in Matthew. That ain't got nothing to do with us. I'm talking about the ones given to the Apostle Paul. By you knowing certain true facts about the Scriptures, you give yourself more credibility whenever you're talking to someone. They can look at it and say, you know what? That guy must have it together, what he told me about this, because I believe this other. In other words, one Scripture builds upon another. It gives you more credibility every time you go out and you witness to someone. You've got more power. It's godly power. It's godly wisdom. You want more of it. So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, what was it, last week we talked about the day that Christ was born? Well, we're not going to change the world. But when you go out with that knowledge and you tell them and just say, well, you know, my pastor said that he was born on the 29th of September. I don't know why, but, you know, I don't believe it was the 25th, but I'm not sure it was the 29th of September. Why aren't you sure or close to it? It's because you haven't, in other words, it's like Jim taking a golf swing, or myself. Whenever you got a golf club, and when I first started, I'm not talking about when I first got out there, I wasn't playing golf. I was swinging a club and balls going everywhere, okay? But whenever I sat down and diligently studied how to hit the ball, my grip, my stance, oh my gosh, this, that, the turn, I was thinking of so many different things, I couldn't really do it. But after time, when you start doing it, then it's programmed into your muscles. And if you learn wrong like I did, I doubt I'll ever get all those bad things out. It's kind of like going to a church that was not preaching the gospel of the grace of God rightly divided. It's there in you, right? You remember all those things. You got to get it out of your mind. It's just like that gospel. Jim owns, I hadn't seen him play, but I guarantee you he owns his swing now. I do too. But, you know, I'll divvy off the course of case. But what I'm saying is, you actually own it. And it's just like knowing the September the 29th. If you don't believe that, then prove it to yourself. What it might be, I believe the Scriptures prove that. But we now own September the 29th. First day of Tishrei. So, 15th day of Tishrei. So we know that. Nobody can take that away. So when you talk to someone, you've got credibility because you can go back, if you took notes, and you can write it down, look at it. If you're in here and trying to remember everything every week without writing anything down, well, you're much more brilliant than I am. Because I have to have notes to rekindle the thoughts that I had sitting in a class. Man, when Brother Moore was up there teaching, I couldn't take my eyes off of him because I know myself. That's why when I go to a conference, I sit on the very first row. Because if I don't, I'm thinking about baseball or something. I've got to keep my eyes on the speaker. I've got to keep myself concentrated because Satan, he wants to come in and deviate my mind by taking me to some thought I was,
well, when we leave here, we're going to go eat in a nice place, or we're going to the beach or whatever. He'll put your mind somewhere else. Guaranteed. That's what he does, and he's good. So I sit and watch people whenever the speaker, if I'm sitting out there. So I just tell you what I do, maybe it'll help. Now, before I go any further, does anyone need a notebook to take notes?
Is that an extra one or is that just...
That's an extra.
I'll use it.
Not that you have to, but I'm telling you. Yes?
I was probably about 40 years ago when I first started going to church. I had a bad habit of going to sleep in church. I just go to sleep and I said, well, you want
we didn't change much.
I still do it. There's more reason for it now. But anyway, they say one of the best ways to overcome that is to take notes in church service. And that helped a little.
Well, you know, when I was in college, I took more notes and Carter's got peanuts. But the fallacy was, I didn't ever go back and read them. Oh, I didn't. Once I write it down, it's kind of like what we do here. It helped me remember. I may never went back and read the notes, but I remember writing it down. I remember that Sunday. So, you know, I love lecture classes. I don't like a class that I've got. I'm not talking about the Bible. I don't like classes that I've got to sit down and read a book. I bet you I've never read 10 books in my entire life. I don't like books. And I had a guy come to me one day and he said, you know what? You must have read the entire library. Because he said, you know something about everything. No, I listen. I listen intently. But anyway, enough on that. So, back to that. You've got to own some of these things, and you don't have to know about the middle wall of partition to be saved. But when somebody tells you, and you want to get in a discussion with a fellow brother or something like that, then yeah, I think you do need to know. It gives you more credibility. Any comments?
What's the reference for the middle wall of partition?
Ephesians 2:14. Okay. Well, we're going to get there today. We ain't going there now for it, but we're going to get there. I know, now we've got, guys, let me get under here. We've got cards. We need to be passing them out. Okay, they're just sitting under here and ain't doing anybody any good. Okay, so we need to be passing them out. What kind of an ambassador are you? What kind of an ambassador am I? When's the last time you asked anybody to come to church? Me and Richard talked about that over the weekend.
Yesterday.
Yeah. What was it? Day before yesterday?
Yeah.
He was so excited. I don't mind telling you this. He was so excited he talked to somebody that was saved, which is an oddity, right?
Yeah.
I said, did you ask him to come to church? No. Why? When we witness to someone, why aren't we asking them to come to church? To hear the word of truth rightly divided. We're all guilty. I ain't just picking on you. That's the real example. You talk to somebody down at Walmart or wherever you're at. Ask them to come here. That's the only thing you can do. You can't handcuff them and have them arrested and brought out here. But you can speak to them and say, look, we'd like for you to come out and hear some more of this. And what I like to do is to tell them, you know, and this has undoubtedly it hasn't worked. But I like to tell them, look, we're not after your money. We don't even pass a plate. Sometimes that's intriguing to people. But you don't have to do whatever works for you. But anyway, but I want you to see there's a lot of people that don't know specifically. And he's telling me, he said, half the church was believing of this, which was wrong. And I know E. C. Moore had taught there.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about inviting people to church and what I'm used to in the past of inviting people to church. And most of the time, when you invite people to church, church, there's an occasion that's like a revival or something. And the way it always has been, and I'm just looking at the what the world that or the churches do. They're inviting you to get your ears tickled. In other words, we're gonna have some good entertainment. We're gonna have some gospel music. We're gonna have this. We're gonna have that. And you know what we here's what we invite them to: Bible study.
We invite them to hear the word of truth rightly divided, to get them saved or to edify them. That's your responsibility.
But here's my point. That just plain flat does not interest them one iota.
Well, you don't know because you didn't ask.
Well, that's not what I'm really trying to point out. What I'm trying to point out is that people, when you invite them to church, they're expecting like there's going to be some kind of entertainment or some special event or... That's what they're expecting, and when you don't have that, then and so I'm just admitting myself that I'm trying to figure out. You know, I'm glad you're hitting on a note because I want them to come.
I know you do.
And
I really do know you do.
Yeah. So the point is getting them excited about Bible study.
Here's what you can get. I'm going to tell you about that. First off, don't make an assumption that they're not going to come. You already killed it. Right there. Because you didn't ask. You made an assumption. Well, if I asked them, they're not going to come. You can tell them, I'd like for you to come and hear the word of truth preached rightly divided. They ain't never heard that term. So that might intrigue them. But I'm telling you who's going to put them in here once you ask them. It's the Holy Spirit. It ain't you. Here's what. I'm a recruiter. I've been a recruiter. I was one of the top in America. It's a game of numbers. I guarantee you, that's why Titus 3.10 says it like it is. Is it 3.10? Yeah, give two admonitions. And then move on. As a recruiter, or as Jim, as a salesman, he can't afford to set up there. Used car salesman too. Any kind of salesman. You cannot set up there, or a house, set up there and spend a whole day with somebody that's not qualified to buy the product. You've got to pretty well sift him out to see if he can afford what he's looking at. You've got a lot of lookers. So that's the way it is. You've got to maybe go through 1,000 people to get one to come in here.
That's right.
I mean, it is a game of numbers. But it's not for you to worry about. It's for the Holy Spirit to convict on their heart. I need to come up here. It's just like you were surprised when that guy was saved. Wow. But you said he's going to a missionary Baptist church. And he's not getting the truth. Is he?
Well, as far as the gospel, it obviously is. He's got that down right.
Said he was saved.
Mm-hmm. But as far as rightly dividing the word of truth, no.
Okay. Anybody else got any input on that?
Still learning to rightly divide.
I was
trained and taught through a system for 30 years, and I have learned so much in here. It's just incredible. I'm learning every time I'm talking.
You know, we can talk about the same thing. And yet, honestly, this works this way. We could preach, and Brother Moore told me this, and I hate to say it, I was doubtful of what he said. I shouldn't have been, but I was. It goes against common thought. He said you could preach the same sermon, different title or something like every week. And after 20 years, there's still going to be somebody lost in your congregation. Same service every week. And that's true. Maybe not in this right in here, right now, the people that we have in here. But, and I've watched it happen in here. I'd be preaching on something, and at the end of it, Richard would come up after the fact and say, man, I got this out of it. Or Jim said, gosh, I got two different things on the same topic. The Holy Spirit wanted Richard to see something, Carl to see something, anybody else to see something, but it wasn't what I was going for, even though, in other words, I may have been hitting at him, and he got it of what I was really hitting for, but two or three of y'all might have got something that was so important that it just made that last piece of puzzle fit into place for you, for understanding. And I didn't mean it to be that way, but it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And I found out to be an absolute true fact.
See, a lot of times back at the other place in Pensacola, people were always on EC's back. Can't you preach anything else but this? Oh, I mean, it was just on him all the time. People would leave on account of he was preaching the gospel. Every week he preached the gospel. It's just, this is so important. And you'll see it different. Once you see the same thing written up there week after week after week, then you're going to learn something different. It may not be a lot, but you're going to learn something different. But okay. Now, well, you know, I'm not picking on you. I'm using you as an example, Richard. I mean, we all are in that same category.
You know, we need to evaluate what we're doing. Because I had some folks come, but that's
right.
About it. You know, just some.
You know, and we know Satan is at the forefront of it, right?
Right.
I mean, I was thinking this morning. This might be off subject or whatever, but I was thinking, you know, I know a lot. Trish and I talked about this coming back last week from Op. We have a good Bible class on the way back from Op. We got 70 miles or 80. And I said, you know, what do you think about these people who have had experiences with the, well, I don't know what to call it. One of them I used was this guy had an out-of-body experience, and I know he did. I had no doubt in my mind he had one. I talked to his mom. He was paralyzed after getting hit by a car, getting off a school bus. We've mentioned it in here before. And couldn't walk for 2 years. Took him to an Assembly of God meeting, Pentecostal. That preacher got a hold of him, took him out of his mom's hands and laid hands on him, stood him down there, and he'd been walking ever since. I can't explain that other than I believe it was a satanic healing. Because the Jews seek after what? Signs. That's a sign. But there's so many of those. So many of those. I believe God performs miracles. Absolutely I do. He performed one with me. He's performed one with Trish. I mean, there's people, but it's not an outward-looking thing where you're going to see me right now. I'll drop that boy down here, lay my hands on him, and he's going to walk off. You ain't going to see that. That ain't a miracle. That's a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Joe's seen a lot of these things, haven't you, over at Brownsville? Brownsville is full of Satan, though, I'm going to tell you. That's why it leads me to believe. You know, Satan, the Scripture tells you, can almost deceive the elect. You are the elect if you're saved in here. So don't be surprised if you see some things that doesn't go along with what we teach. What we teach is what the King James Bible says, rightly divided. So you guys were involved in the Assembly of God for a long time. You've probably seen some of this. Really. I've saw them bop the guy on top of the head. They roll down and they start rolling over and they start laughing uncontrollable. And they really were. So you have these things. There's power in these churches. But it's a satanic power. And you know, and people will say, I had one ask me, he says, well, you know, you're saying that's of Satan? I said, yep. Well, they get mad. This is like speaking in tongues. I had a guy in my government office downtown on Bayou Boulevard. And we were talking about the Air Force Reserve. We got through. I started talking to him about the sign behind me, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I told him, I said, you know what? There's no such thing as sign. I don't know why I did. It just came up. I said, there's no speaking in tongues in this dispensation. Oh, my God. Oh, I thought he was going to hit me. Really? He said, my mom speaks in tongues. Don't you tell me there ain't no such thing. Well, they're not in this dispensation. But people do. People do speak in tongues. It's an intelligible language. They ain't talking about that gibberish that these guys put on. I've seen that fake. But I'm talking about a real language that they speak in. But that's the same. If it's not, then this is wrong. Because this has been done away with. Those signs have been done away with.
you're not going to have them. They don't tell how many times Joe's seen them speaking in tongues down there. I don't know if it was real, like I've seen. But there's power in these churches. And like I told you a couple of weeks ago, the church that you see growing most right now is the Assemblies. Boy, they're growing leaps and bounds. Now, why in a society of apostasy? And that's where we're at. We're in the end times, right? And Timothy tells you we're in perilous times. But in Romans chapter 1, we look at the homosexuality and the lesbianism going on, and the Bible is explicit. This is not prophecy fulfillment. This is just out and out really seeing what's going on, because we are in the end times. And the falling away is taking place, as far as I'm concerned, right now. Out of the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, around verse 10, 11, and 12, right in there. The apostasy is there. The falling away is taking place because you wouldn't believe the love of the truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, correct? And so when the time comes, when the Antichrist sets himself up, then you will believe a lie, which is the Antichrist. But you're doomed and damned, and you may try to bless a Jew after that fact, but you don't heard the gospel of the grace of God. You don't have a second chance, no matter what preacher says this or says that. So, but I wanted you to see that there's real power out here. It's apostasy on our part, I say the people that are, have been taught the truth and now are beckoning down or getting away from it. So it's a real deal. It is the real deal. But don't be led astray by these people that if you have a family member or something like that, that back in the day, whenever it was, that somebody laid hands on him and he got healed, that wasn't of God. It just isn't. Joe had a son. I believe. Did you take him down there? Didn't work, though. Didn't work. Didn't have enough faith. Is that right? That boy, he didn't know if he had enough faith or not. That's crazy. You have a denomination that's going to tell you he ain't got enough faith. That's like in snake handlers and holiness up there that I've been watching on television. Mark 16.
Is that kind of like you got to pray harder?
Yeah, in other words, I don't know. I honestly do not know. But salvation without works, by identification through faith. We're going to talk about it. What do you think we ought to do, Richard, when it comes to getting people into this place?
Well, I think the first thing, I've been thinking about it.
Without replacing the preacher. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, replace the preacher. No, I do know that if we pray and and Bob says be ready to give an account of the life again, and that's true. And but I think we just need to be prayer, and I think focused. I think one of the things like you're saying, I need to pay a little bit more attention to what we're doing. Like for example, you talked about making the notes and doing those type of things. But I think it boils down to prayer and asking specifically for it. Give me a soul. I can bring the church. I think be specific on that and just keep praying that. Then I think maybe we'll start seeing it. But here's the other thing. I remember when I used to pray that way a lot, and I would expect, like you were expecting somebody to be here. They would never show up, but somebody else would. And that's the way it would work. But I think that's really what we need to do is focusing on a prayer life and make it a point of focus.
I like that. Anybody? I want to comment on that, though. Has anybody else got an idea? Anybody?
But you got to tell them the church is here, otherwise they don't know.
Well, that's true, and where's that? Yeah.
I think leading those cars everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere.
I've got plenty of business cars.
Somebody pick it up.
And every time you go to a bathroom, every time you go to a restaurant, take a handful and just leave one on the table. Somebody's going to see it. Leave one when you go pay your bill if you go to the counter. Leave one in Lowe's. Leave one anywhere. Leave it in Bed Bath Beyond. Wherever you go, just leave a card. And we'll have enough cards because I just ordered another 5,000. I've probably got 4,000 of these. These are double cards because I like it because it's got the gospel in it. These others don't. It's just a one-sided card. It just tells who we are, that kind of thing, and a contact number. But like yesterday, where did I leave that card at, Trish?
Yesterday?
Was it? No, it was probably somewhere. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I left the card with a preacher, ex-preacher, in Pensacola. He don't preach anymore, but I left him a card, invited him over here. We were at a gun show yesterday. Yes?
You talked to another person and invited him to the church.
But, you know, they may or may never. But I did talk to that one preacher a little bit. And he was out of the Latter-day Saints. And he got out of the denominational system totally. So he couldn't stand it anymore. And so we had a little commonality. Look it up on the website and come on out. God, I wanted to comment on yours. Prayer. And I think Richard hit it. Who's been praying? This is not to embarrass anybody. Who's been praying to get more people out here to hear the word of truth? Lost people. Are you healed? We all are, okay? We all are. We may have done a half effort, but we all are guilty. But are you guilty of not studying your Bible? We all are. You might have read it. You might have picked it up in your free time. A little bit. We all can do better. Remember, you're the example these people see. Not just me. Not just me. We're all examples. You know, a lot of times, whenever you invite someone, you might be at work. And that might interfere with your job. You know, Christians are being persecuted even in the United States right now.
You know, it's really amazing, though, too. The other thing is, a lot of these churches, they're all excited about their activities in their churches. And I've listened to them and whatever. And then we come in there and kind of like throwing water on their party. I believe that's all the devil. You hear what I'm saying?
In other words, you're going to suffer persecution. And you can glory in that. Now, if you go out and commit a crime, that's shameful. If you get locked up, right? You commit a crime, you're going to get locked up. That's shameful to the individual. But when you get locked up for presenting the gospel, or somebody's persecuting you, you glory in that. That's just the way it is. But you're right. You said the key word, Richard. Activities. We don't have activities. This is not a movie theater. This is not a concert. This is not something of that nature. We come in and study the Word of God, talk about the Word of God, find different opinions on it. Let the Bible, the King James Bible, be the final answer. Yes, Trish?
But if you really think about it, and you think about, I mean, just the people that you talk to on Saturday, most of the people that we talk to, if we can get a chance to actually talk to them, most of the time, those people are fed up with the denominational system.
Oh, yeah.
And the activities and the this and the that and all the other stuff besides focusing on the Lord. You know, we talk to somebody and we witness to them and they're excited about what we have to say, which means they're interested. And then if we're not telling them that a church even exists, they think, oh, well, I like what that guy said. Huh. And then that's it. If they're not very local here, send them out to the website. I mean, there's resources out there. But the point is that if you're talking to them, if you get any kind of into them at all and they're listening to you, chances are, one, they're fed up with a denominational system. Two, they're interested in the Word of God. But if you don't tell them where they can go and get more, they just think, well, that guy, I like what he said.
That's a recruiting tool.
I was on my windshield in my car.
stays out there till Tuesday at noon. And so they can come home tonight or tomorrow when there's no church and watch this video. Yes?
One of the things is, too, and I guess I'm really kind of against this. I don't like church building. In other words, what I mean that sincerely. In other words, I think what we need, because I hear these others bragging about the church. I don't want to brag about my church. I want to brag about Christ and the gospel. And that's what should be the one that attracts them, and that can say that the gospel is preached here, rightly divided. But the focus needs to be on Christ and not the church. And otherwise, I'll fall in the same thing that everybody else is doing. I go right back to being focused on, you know, what is it that I'm doing? What am I trying to accomplish? And what I want to do is win people to Christ through the gospel that is provided.
And where are they going to hear it?
Right.
That's what you got to think about. Where are they going to hear it?
Right
here. They either hear it and walk away and never come back, like we had that couple that just got married. And they got out of here just as fast as you started, I think. But they got out of here.
I'll see
were you then?
I'm sure. It was him. They were afraid. And we have a very intensive Bible study here. I mean, it's very intensive. And sometimes it's very... When somebody comes in, they're not used to that. They're not used to that, and to me, I can't wait to be here.
Well, they're used to some trivial things, talking about this and that, and spending time with the kids. And as Joe was saying, tickling of the ears, and that's what they're looking for. Now, we've also got fellow grace believers that are trying to actually, that are not helping us whatsoever. I'm talking about Clint's my buddy's one of them. Ralph Carson's another. They're not helping us. Matter of fact, they're hurting us.
Are they here in Pensacola?
Yeah, they're in Pensacola. But you know, you have that. You can deal with that because the Lord's not shut us down. But on Richard's note there, we're not trying to get numbers. That's not the point.
Right.
We're trying to get people, and it accumulates to be numbers. We're trying to get people who are lost to come in here to hear the gospel so they can be saved, or will hear the gospel so they will trust the Lord. That's what it's about. I agree with you. Hey, let's don't just try to herd a bunch of people in here just to say we've got it filled up. That's the wrong attitude. You want lost people, but if they're saved, you want to bring them in because they may believe this and nothing else. They may know absolutely nothing about the Word of God other than they're saved. That's it. Now, I find it a difficulty to believe people can be saved by this and not know how to rightly divide. Now, I used to didn't believe that, but I'm finding it difficult because they don't believe Paul's their apostle.